Praise God. Acts chapter number 1, and let us begin at verse number 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm very, very thankful for the teaching that we heard this morning, and so I don't want anybody to try to read anything into that where Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. He was speaking to his disciples, and it was not that particular time that he was emphasizing. They could not understand a few things, and he said, look, just get your mind off of that. There's something else that I'm wanting to do right now. And began to talk to them about receiving the Holy Ghost and to be a witness. Praise God. And so tonight, I just simply want to preach for just a few minutes of time, and all bets are off, but if the Lord doesn't touch this, we're going to be out in a few minutes. Praise God. But we've seen that before, and we're not afraid of that at all. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach tonight about the mission of the church. Amen. The mission of the church. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice and would you ask the Lord to help us here today? Father, we love you and we need you. We need your spirit. We need your help here tonight, oh God. Lord Jesus, we earnestly come before you because we want to learn of you. We want to get to know you. Hallelujah. But we believe that you are able, Lord. God, all of our prayers, Lord Jesus, our answers are in you. Our questions, God, our answers are in you. Our dilemmas, God, our answers are in you. Our healing, Lord Jesus, is in you. Hallelujah. In you we live and move and have our being. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you and we give you glory and honor today. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord. I just wonder if somebody here tonight is ready to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that we have worshiped him to a degree. Amen. But I want the voice, amen, I want the voice of the church to rise to another level. I want us to say, oh God, I'm a part of this glorious church and I want to be a part of your mission. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God. The church was never created simply to exist. That was not the purpose. That was not the mission. For if that had been, then I would venture to say that you and I would have lost our hope before we would have ever stepped upon the face of the earth. But, amen, while Jesus was upon the face of the earth, the Bible teaches us that he established the structure and gave definition to the church as he would state, and he would say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We know that this was built upon that revelation, as he would say that flesh and blood hath not given it unto Peter. But he went on to say that upon this rock, upon this foundation, I am going to build my church. And I just want to state something emphatically, and that is that the gates of hell shall not prevail, or shall not overcome, shall not overpower the church of the living God. And that tells me that the church is going to have sufficient power. That tells me that the church is going to have everything that it needs in order to be successful in the eyes of God. Whatever the church needs, amen, God has empowered the church with that. Amen, this teaches me that the enemy is not going to be able to sit on the outside encompassing the church and cause the church, amen, to be unproductive. And this tells me that the enemy is not going to be able to get within the church and overpower the church. Amen. Not if the church doesn't want that to be so. And can I just state tonight that God surely doesn't want it to be so. I believe that in every area, that in every city, that in every nation, in every country, that there is a church that is preaching truth. Amen. That God hath established it. God hath petitioned it. It is the will of God for there to be a church in these areas so that truth can march on and that truth can prevail. Praise God. We know that the apostles were church planters. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Acts is an account of their church planting ministry. And we know that the apostle Paul, the great church planter, and that he is given credit for some 14 plus churches that were planted in the New Testament. And some theologians would say and argue that that number even succeeds or surpasses 20. But I just want you to know that he did all of this in somewhere around 9 years of time, and he took some 10,000 miles, and he didn't have United Airlines or Southwest, and he didn't have a car or a truck, and he sure didn't have a Tesla. Amen. But all that he had was just his own 2 feet, and he could have had a lot of excuses about how that he wasn't going to be able to do it, why that he couldn't do it, amen, or all the other excuses that would be handed unto him. But he had a mission that was given unto him. The mission that was given in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, amen, unto the Lord in all of these areas, including the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe that there were days that Paul was sick. There were days that Paul didn't feel good. There were days that Paul didn't feel like walking. Amen. Paul's feet may have been sore, but there was a mission that was to be accomplished. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that it wasn't always easy, for Paul would let us know, I've been in perils many, many times. I could have quit if I wanted to quit. I had people lay stripes across my back. I was in danger often. I was in peril often. I was in the deep, a night and a day. I was in peril amongst false brethren. I was in peril, amen, among all of the enemy. And besides all of these things, amen, the cares of the churches, I could have been overwhelmed. I could have been stressed out. I could have been over my head in all of it. But Paul said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I may be tired, but God is my strength. I may be weak, but God is my help. I may not be anything, but God is everything. If God can take somebody like me, then God can take somebody like you. If God can save a soul like me, then God can save
another soul. He is able to save from the guttermost unto the uttermost. I just say here tonight, it's still the will of God. It's still the plan of God. God wants the church to be a witness. God wants the church to grow. God wants the church to thrive.
Well, let's magnify him here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yeah, we're going to face resistance. Oh yeah, there's going to be some spirits that are going to try to overcome, amen, against the church. But church, we're still preaching truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't care what they're locked up by. I don't care what they're hooked on. I don't care what they're drinking. I don't care what they're snorting. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I've got a God. I just want to know, do you have a God? Do you have the same God? I've got a God that is able. I've got a God that has all power. I've got a God that knows all things. I've got a God that can do above all that I could ask or think. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Let me just step out on the realm of the prophet here tonight. I've got a God that is bigger than your mama's problems. Amen. Your mama may be saying, I can't come to church because I've got a God that's able to step in and to wipe it away. I've got a God that's bigger than your family's problems. I've got a God that's bigger than your friend's problems. I've got a God that's bigger than your neighbor's problems. I've got a God that's bigger than all of the devils of hell. Praise God. Can I just say here tonight that if your vision of what God wants to do doesn't come down and dramatically scare you, then you need to get a fresh vision of who your God is. Amen. I was praying and seeking God. I came to the place, Brother Worse, that I thought if I could just have 125 to 150 before I got ready to retire, I feel like I would have been successful. And the Lord said, who is successful? Amen. It caused me to back up and to take another step. And I said, God, if I could have 200, maybe 250. And then I got to where I could see that. And I said, the vision isn't big enough. I don't know what God wants to do. So I will not limit him. I will not bind him up. I will not put him at 1200 Henry. I will not box him in the building that is there. I've got a God that is greater than what these pews can hold. I've got a God that is greater than $2.5 million on the highway somewhere. I've got a God that has all power. I've got a God that wants us to succeed. I've got a God that wants us to have revival. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, amen. But we're going to talk about that adversary for a little while, because we do have an adversary. The devil has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, trying to bully his way, push his way, stir up trouble, stir up dissension, stir up bitterness, things that may have happened many, many years ago. Amen. The devil is the greatest pot stirrer that has ever lived. Amen. He wants to go back into the closet of yesterday, and he wants to stir it up. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is done. You can't do anything about yesterday, but now is a time of salvation. You've got something to do today. You've got a neighbor. You've got family.
You've got friends. You've got relatives. Don't let the devil steal your joy and your victory that God wants to give you in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that devil wants to make you feel like a nobody. That devil wants to make you feel like a failure. That devil wants to make you feel, amen, under so much condemnation. As that devil comes and says, boy, sit down. You ain't got a right to stand up. You ain't got a right to rejoice. What have you done, you big hypocrite? Just sit down. Hey, I know all of your past. He wants to shut up the mouth of the church. Why? Because there is power in the church. There's power in the voice of the King. There's power that God wants to give you. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do I have anybody here with the Holy Ghost? Anybody got the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about the genuine Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about charismatic Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Holy Ghost that'll bring the gutters out. That'll bring the drugs and the druggies out of the slums. I'm talking about Holy Ghost power that is able to set every man free.
Oh, let's love him today. While Jesus walked on the face of the earth, demons trembled, hell quaked, because they did not know what he was going to do next. Here he was, healing this one and touching this one, and here the devils were, peeking behind the trees, watching as he and his tired body continued to break the bread and the fishes and give it to the disciples. The devil looked on, not just as the one that was within the individual, but from afar they looked on and they watched him cast out their own. They watched him take dominion over spirits that they'd cast himself in the fire and in the waters. And they watched him as he gave peace unto those that were in such a quandary. They watched him as he healed the lame, as he healed the blind. They watched him as he raised the dead. They watched him as he cast out the demons. And all the time they're sitting there, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I believe that they were within earshot when he began to ask his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. The devils already knew, because you can go to the book of Mark, chapter number 1, in the beginning, and there were the devils, and they were confronting Jesus, and Jesus looked at them, and they said, have you come to cast us out? Amen. Amen. Jesus confronted them, and they called him Lord. They called him Christ. They called him Messiah. And Jesus looked at him and he said, hold your peace. You're not going to go around spouting it off who I am. They knew who he was. And so from a distance here they are listening. Man, I just wonder if anybody else, oh, I feel the glory here today. I just wonder if anybody else knows who he is. We know who he is. We know who he was when he, amen, came upon the face of the earth. And when he drew his first breath, we knew who he was. Amen. I just wonder if anybody else knows it. And the disciples began to say, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And the devil said, maybe not. And some said, thou art Elias. And the demons kind of smiled and said, oh, it's looking better all the time. And some said that thou art Jeremiah. And somebody said, oh, one of the other prophets.
words. And the devil just smiled and said, boys, I think we got this. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter stood up and he said, thou art the Christ. And all of the devils shrunk. Amen. They just kind of scattered like cockroaches when the light comes on. He began to look around, boys, what are we going to do? This is getting hairy. This is getting dangerous, because there's something that happens when people begin to understand who he is. And somebody said, wait, listen. He's speaking. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, and the devils began to listen again, amen, that thou art Peter. Yeah, we got that. And upon this rock, what is he getting ready to say? I am going to build my church. What's a church? Somebody look it up. Go call Google. Ask Siri. Somebody do something. What's a church? Amen. He began to say, and upon this rock, this revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell. Whoa. What? What? Amen. He's talking about us now. The gates of hell shall not overcome it. Not going to be able to overpower it. And all of hell got together. Amen. And they huddled and they said, okay, boys, you know what we got to do? We got to keep the revelation from them. We got to keep the revelation from them. Amen. Pardon me. Forgive me and excuse me, but play along with me. Understand, I'm playing Satan, okay? Demon Henry, come here. Demon Garrett, come here. Come on, Demon Daniel. Come on, Demon Hunter. Come on, Demon Gavin. Amen. Come on. Let me tell you something, boys. If they ever get a revelation of who God is, if they ever get a revelation of what this God is within them, because I'm telling you, I know what the church is going to be. If they ever get a revelation of, we're done. We're cooked. It's over. And so you know what we've got to try to do? Amen. That guy over there, the Lord, Christ Jesus, he said that we're not going to be able to overpower them. So you know what we're going to do? This is our job. Every time somebody gets a little bit of joy, I want you to go push them down. I just want you to suppress them. Every time somebody experiences and just kind of shows a little bit of hope and stuff, I want you to come around and I just want you to kind of push them down and I want you to oppress them. Every time somebody stands up and shouts glory, hallelujah, I just want you to remind them of their past and just push them down. Every time somebody wants to get the joy and go rejoicing and worshiping, I just want you to grab his coattail and just throw him right back in the pew. You got that? You do that. Every time somebody feels like they became an overcomer and started working and starting being victorious, I want you to bring out their rap sheet and I want you to show them where that they used to be, and I want you to just kindly push them back down in their seat. Do you understand, boys? That's the plan. Then go. And anytime everybody gets a revelation, anytime anybody gets excited, you just say, sit down, sir. You're a nobody. Anytime everybody decides that they want to have joy, you just look them eyeball to eyeball and say, what is there to be happy about? You guys are faltering. Sit down. You're worthless. You ain't worth anything. Just sit down. You've had a hard week. You deserve to just sit there. You deserve just to... No. You just sit down too. Because the devil knows that when the church gets a little bit of victory, the devil knows that when the church begins to get a revelation, that anything can happen. Everything begins to be unstable. All of a sudden, faith begins to energize the atmosphere, and somebody begins to think, I think that I can be an overcomer. I think that I can help out. I think that I can be a witness. I think that I can have the joy. I think that I can do anything with God. That's why the devil fights our services so hard.
Yes, sir. Hey.
service prayer isn't important. Go sit down. Because the devil knows that if the church gets a little bit excited in pre-service prayer, we still got worship service. We still got preaching service. He lost from the very beginning. Amen. Somebody gets a little bit excited during worship service, and the devil likes to jump on your back. Amen. And have you have a bad time, because he knows that if you ever get the victory, if you ever get over that problem, that problem, that problem. I'm talking to somebody right now, that all that has to happen is that problem has to manifest itself. That problem has to show up, and you sit down and you get aggravated. That devil, you're not getting my joy. You're not getting my victory. You're not getting my revival. I refuse. Somebody needs to tell hell, get out of my life. You need to tell the devil, get out of my life. Get out of my ear. Get out of my home. Get out of my family. You can't have my family. You can't have my joy. You can't have my revival. I'm about done. Y'all come to the music. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody's getting a revelation here tonight. Oh, somebody's been asking for purpose, and your answer came tonight. Your answer came tonight. You hear me in the Holy Ghost, somebody. Amen. God's going to put people in front of you, and he's going to open up a door of utterance, and you're going to open your mouth, and God's going to put the words in your mouth, and they're going to ask more, and you're going to be able to invite them, and you're going to be responsible for winning them unto Jesus. From every man that's in bondage of Egypt, God has a Moses to lead him out. For every Goliath, God's got a David. For every Sennacherib, God's got an angel. For every Jericho, God's got a Joshua. For every Midianite and Amalekite, God's got a Gideon. For every Philistine, God's got a Samson. For every Ahab, God's got an Elijah. For every Jezebel, God still has a few on his side. For every drought, God still has a cloud like unto a man's head. For every famine, God still has a widow who's willing to give and to obey. For every Red Sea, God has a rod to be stretched forth. For every Jordan, God's got a mantle to smite it. For every empty pot, God still has oil to fill it. For every Naaman with leprosy, God's got a Jordan River. For every Haman, God's got an Esther. For every broken down wall, God's got a Nehemiah. For every Nineveh, God has a Jonah. For every barren locust infested land, God's got a Joel. For every Assyrian army, God's got a Jeremiah. For every golden image, God still has people that will not bow and will not burn. For every decree, God still has a Daniel that's still willing to pray. For every evil device, for every manipulating politician, for every evil agenda that hell wants to throw on the earth, God has got a church. For every dope smoking, cocaine snorting, heroin addict, individual in Augusta, God has a new life tabernacle. For every drunk, every dirty rotten thief, illicit young person, profane foul-mouthed individual that this city can produce, God has responded by putting a church at 1200 Henry in their path.
and for every messed up and broken home. God's got a message of deliverance. God's got a message of victory. God's got a message of healing. And God's got a man to preach it for such a time as this. We just cannot shirk the responsibility. There's power in worship. There's power in prayer. There's power in response. There's power in knowledge. Somebody needs to get a revelation of who that God is. Somebody needs to get a revelation of all that God can do. And your vision is going to change. Your outlook is going to change because you have a mission.